Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals of Time to Be Grateful, coming to Newark, New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
We are now merged together here. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum, William.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, we are ready live.
Alhamdulillah,
go ahead.
So you're ready.
And we're ready. Yeah, we're ready.
You're ready.
Yes, and you may have to repeat because I just connected AM360 to you.
No, well, you're right on time. We were just basically letting people know that what we do in the first hour, which is play halal music and why we do it, and also to make them familiar that, you know, the reason why we're doing this is that we're basically experimenting and laying the foundation for the future of Muslim media. Because we know that popular culture has a lot of haram lyrics in their music. And so, you know, our effort is to give our listeners a choice of hearing, listening, and sharing artistic sounds that have been specifically selected for our Muslim market. And so we make sure that the lyrics are halal and suitable, not only for the ones who are listening, but if you want to have the children listening or you want to have your grandchildren listening, or you know, just to let them know that this is where they can come to and hear, you know, halal music. So this morning we'll be playing an interview we got off YouTube with Talib Kweli, who's on a video platform called UPROXX, UPROXX videos. And we're not going to play the whole interview, but we're going to play, you know, a significant amount of the interview. And Mos Def, Yasin Bey, you know, has, you know, he's experienced the hip-hop culture as many of our children have. Our children, you know, say that came up in the 80s. So he does a really, a good job of explaining how he was participating in the culture. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up that interview with Talib Kweli that's going to interview Mos Def. And so here we go. And then after that, then we're going to hear the Quick Hitters experience, which is a experience in hip hop culture that we're sure that you'll enjoy.
I am feeling absolutely amazing. I cannot wait for this person that I shared the elevator with, but there was no fighting.
Yeah, man. This person that we have on is actually one of the maybe
Just stop. Don't do it.
You're not gonna let me do the intro?
No.
It's so much here though.
It's okay. We don't have to do that.
So how about we do this? How about you do the intro?
Okay. that's even more good. That's even more awkward. Listen, my name is Yasin Bey. Your people know who you are. That's Jasmine Lee. You're one of my oldest and dearest friends.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna dispense with any of the pretenses. I know we're having a lot of production realities going on.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna attempt, as we talked about earlier, to have as earnest and open a conversation as we normally do.
That's right.
When the cameras and the microphones are off while they're on.
Yes.
Shout out to Black Alfalfa in the back.
Yeah.
Yes. You know,
so tell me more about Anwar Khalifi, because last time I was in Barcelona with you, you took me to an art exhibit. Whose exhibit was that?
No, that was the Juan Miró Museum.
Yes.
You were on your phone. You were on Twitter at that time.
I was taking pictures.
No, you were on Twitter.
Yeah, I took pictures and I tweeted them and I was like, look how
fly. Oh, you tweeted about it.
Yeah. Look how fly my life is.
Right on.
But
those were the days. Remember shows?
I know.
But tell us about this artist and why you wanted to showcase his work.
That's Black Alfalfa. I mean, come on.
So, Yasin, the first time we met was in Washington Square Park. And you bought everybody in the park who we were hanging out with and rapping with hamburgers.
I've heard this story many times.
Yeah, I want to thank you publicly because you've heard it privately, but I want to thank you publicly.
I mean, I know what it was like to be, you know, I had many hungry days myself out mm-hmm. there, you know, by the park. So I was like, hey, you know, I know what it's like.
Right.
So I got a little bread. I was like, hey, you know.
Right.
Let's eat.
You had a couple of acting gigs at that time. So we used to see you on TV and then we see you in the park.
Local youths.
No doubt.
Trying to do something creative and not,
right.
you know, get caught up in the streets.
Right, that Brooklyn bullshit. We was on it.
It was on us.
Right.
It was on. It was around. Whether you was on it, it was on you. It mm-hmm. was around. So
yeah,
that was the time. That's how we met.
Umi says honoring your mom, which I absolutely love that song. I was just listening to it on repeat this morning. Such an important song. Her advice in it: shine your light on the world.
My mom's is my hero, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my father is someone I love and admire a great deal. And that the way that song came out is, you know, I don't know if, you know, it's a, Umi says it's a freestyle in essence in terms of the lyrics, you know. and the music too, it's just like, it was me in the studio, just came up with the bass line, I played the drums, and then I just started, you know, kind of talking blues over it. And it started, you know, and then Weldon Irving came, Will I Am played,
yes,
the
rest in peace to Weldon.
Rest in peace to Weldon Irving. And Will I Am came and played the Rhodes on it, and it was just like, you know, at this moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy it happened. It's nice to have something like that just personal and dedicated to your parents be recognized and appreciated. So yeah, I'm glad people enjoyed it.
I'm honored to have a relationship with both Umi and Abi, and they've helped shape me as a man as well, just from their influence in my life as well. So I appreciate them as well.
So same with your, I mean, your, but you know, your parents too, with Dr. Green and your dad, just their presence in the community and, you know, in your life has been, I mean, it's the elders, it's the OGs. I mean,
yeah,
they, you know, you may not always agree with them, but they, you know, they merit respect, and, you know, because they survived. So, and my mother and my father came up with some very challenging times and eras, and they shared a lot of, you know, necessary and positive information and examples with me. And my father, I mean, I don't think, you know, every so often, not more than every so often, and I'm quoting something that he said to me as a young boy or as a young man, or, you know, as an adult, that really resonated. You know, that he's got a treasure trove of them. 10% condition, 90% response. So
right.
You know, he's like that guy. You know.
I feel one of the greatest accomplishments is to make your parents proud. And I know your mother probably really felt amazing having the song, I mean, having you write a song pretty much kind of dedicated to her. How did she feel when she heard it?
She feels good about it, you know. I mean, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I can't imagine. I mean, if one of my sons, if one of my kids, you know, have wrote a song about me, it kind of would be like one of these moments like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I could relate to it from that point of view, but she didn't say she approves, which is, you know, all I could ask for. There's certain things that she didn't like. There's one thing that I did that she didn't like.
What was that?
She didn't like the Sex, Love, and Money video.
Ah.
Nah, I like that video.
I mean, the video goes with the song, you know.
I like it goes with the song, but she didn't like it.
Right.
And it was the first time that I had heard her like express like displeasure with the thing.
Mm.
She got the narrative, but she
right.
didn't like the video, and I was like, oh wow.
Right.
And you know, in hindsight, it was like, you know, I got it. I was like, yeah, well, you know, I kind of understand why my mom
right.
not like that video. You know, I was having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. You mentioned earlier UTDs, the group you were in with Seth and DCQ, brother Denard. Seth is my friend who you saw earlier when we were setting up.
Right.
And, I was like,
we seen Seth out mad times.
Yeah. You see Seth out all the time. Now,
yeah, all the time.
I'm gonna do soon on my IG like a Most Def DJ set. And I was collecting all the records together, and I played Manifest Destiny, and Seth jumped up, right? And he's like, "What you know about that song?" I'm like, "What you mean?" He's like, "I had that song on a TDK back in the day. I don't know who it is. All I know is that song is the shit." And I said, "Well, let me bust your head for a second. You know who's rapping on that song? It's Mos Def rapping on a song." He said, "No, it's not. What you talking about?" I pulled up the video. He said, "That is Mos Def."
Yeah.
So
wow.
I know personally how much you're inspired, particularly by DCQ, the creation of UTDs, the creation of Medina Green. But can you tell my audience who DCQ is and what he means to you?
DCQ... wow, what I mean, it's like a legend.
Yes.
DCQ was
an acronym.
Yeah, you know the flex. DCQ was an acronym for when my brother Denard was a teenager in Flatbush in like the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. and he was part of a gang basically called United Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And his acronym was DCQ, Destroying Competition Quickly.
Yeah.
just to give you some idea how, like, you know, how the eighth grade was on it in like 89. You know what I'm saying? That's how Flatbush was.
No
was
doubt.
Getting into
I was in a gang called Outlaws of Destruction. We wasn't outlaws and we didn't destroy anything. But that's what we called ourselves.
But so that's how DCQ got that name.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a touchstone for every hard rock teenager in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, like East Flatbush, Parkside, and all of that. Like, you know, all the local roughnecks was he was like a clearinghouse for them. All of them. And on the other side of it, I was completely different. Like, I was, you know, my brother was very social, and I was not. And we had very different interests. And he recognized, talent in me as a writer. And I'll never forget, we were sitting there one day in the house, on Hoyt Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching Video Music Box, so I'm aging myself, but it's... watch a Video Music Box. For people that don't know, it's when you could, you know, watch videos on TV and call up on your phone and request videos.
Not only that, Yasin, but I was watching Video Music Box one day, and I saw Umi giving a shout out to you, to Ralph McDaniels, and Ray DeJean.
Really?
Yeah. One of her
my
friends,
mom?
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
local people.
That's right.
So, we was watching Video Music Box, and Common's single, when he was Common Sense, Common's single for Take It Easy had come out. It was his first single off of the Can I Borrow a Dollar album. And we was like, oh, it's still for Chicago. It's dope, you know, it's like that. And we watched that video, and D said to me, he was like, yo, son, we could do this. I was like, do what? Order another video? He was like, nah, we can do this. Like, we can do that. What they doing, we can do it. And I was like, yeah, okay. If you say so, you know. And he was dead serious. He saw something. So he started, like, you know, just making it happen in terms of, like, you know, connecting us to people and getting studio times, things that I never would have known how to do or would have been even, like, you know, forthright enough to do. But he really respected me as a writer. All my homies did. I mean, MCing was that thing that's like, from the first time that I did it, I excelled at it. You know, it was like, it was. When I was 9 years old, it was the first time that a lot of my neighbors really heard me speak in a way that, you know, that they understood or were interested in. And when I did it, they were like, oh, wow, like, okay. So, it was a way for me to connect with my neighborhood on like, equal ground. Because apart from that, I was just on another page.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of my interest and, you know, temperament and all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, long story short, D was very influential in that way. And he was like the manager almost to a certain degree, and I was the creative. So came up with this name for this group, Urban Thermodynamics. I remember walking by on Parkside Avenue, so this truck that said thermodynamic heating, and I was like, thermodynamic. It's just, you know, the scientific aspect.
I know them
of
trucks,
just,
yeah.
Like, appealed to me, and I was like, urban thermodynamics, and I looked it up, it said creating heat and energy. I was like, yeah, okay, this is like, you know, a thing. So we recorded a demo, you know. Sess was my best friend in high school, and she was like my female social twin in a lot of regards. She, because, you know, she listened to Fishbone and De La Soul, the 24/7 Spies, and had dreads and, you know, was just like the coolest individual, girl or guy, that I had ever met at, up until that point.
Bars, too, and like bars.
Yeah, and she
MC.
Just had so much charisma and personality that I was like, and, you know, she said, I rhyme a little, she sing, you know, she just, we were in the drama program together.
Mm-hmm.
And she just had, like, cool shit going on in her life. You know, she had a lifeguard license.
Mm-hmm.
So in the summer, she always had money because she could lifeguard, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you're 15 and broke and your best friend is like, you know, I got money. You're like, wow, this is like, person's like a magician. they have actual their own money that their parents didn't give them. You
right.
know what I'm saying? I couldn't get it. I couldn't get a job to do nothing, Jesus. Like nothing. Like nobody was hiring Dante Smith at that time. She had a job lifeguarding in the building where Miles Davis lived.
Mm. Wow.
So she was like cool with Miles Davis because he had come to the pool.
Wow.
And like talk shit to her. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you talking to Miles Davis?
Wow.
And I'd be like, you got to let me come up there. She'd be like, no, because you're not
going to
set up my job. Okay, you know. And I used to come meet her. He used to live over the Russian Tea Room.
Uh-huh, yeah.
On 57th Street. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Mm.
He used to tell me about Miles was funny. He used to make passes at her and shit. It was cute. She thought it was cute, you know. And anyway, Seth is my best friend, my best homie, the person I felt like the most comfortable with, understood me. And I had like this huge crush on her, but it was going nowhere. So I was like, we just friends.
Right.
And when I figured, I was like, we put a group together because the Fugees was out at that
mm-hmm.
time. So my idea was like, I got DCQ here. I got Sess. I got me. We could be like, you know, a Brooklyn version of the Fugees, but like, you know, more rough. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
you know, like BK 90
right.
style.
With bottom
you know?
Fronts.
Yeah, with bottom fronts like
yeah.
that. Like
yeah.
Fugees with bottom
yeah.
fronts, basically. You know, covering like Flatbush, Bed-Stuy, and like Bay Ridge, where Sess was living on the Army base.
Right. Is that where the video was filmed?
Crazy.
It looked like it was filmed like in the...
Nah. We filmed that someplace like actually, I think it was in Jersey or something.
Okay.
Jersey City, someplace in New York, some abandoned, you know, like open field. It used to have a lot of that back
yeah.
in the day. It was just like, you know, undeveloped space
yeah.
in the metro. Not no more, but yeah. So that was the beginnings of UTD when we did My Kung Fu, and you know people heard it, people liked us, and it was different.
Mm-hmm.
But they responded to Sess's voice, they responded to DCQ's persona,
mm-hmm.
and it responded to me and my voice and my writing. So what I did is like you know, because I had all these rhymes that I was writing, and I just handed, you know, basically rhymes out to everybody. I was like, okay, you say this. And,
mm-hmm.
and they wrote some of this stuff, to be fair, but, like, to keep the thing going, I was just like, you know, I had all of this writer's energy in me,
mm-hmm.
so I just wrote for everybody, basically.
Right.
And that's basically how it went. You know, we had a deal on Payday Records and worked with DJ Backspin, who worked with Busta Rhymes
mm-hmm.
at the time, and... So it was an exciting time. I was like 18, 19 years old.
Mm.
Word.
Black Star is looked at as one of the most important pairings in the history of rap. And I really think people just want to know everything that they can about that era in both of your careers.
They
can't.
It's not possible.
Let us in.
No. It's not possible. It's really seriously because like, Quack has attested to this, like, if you weren't there, you weren't there. Quack talks about a lot of that era in his own book, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
about what that was like and the thing. But it's like, it's a New York of another time. It's an America of another time. It's pre-internet. It's pre-a lot of stuff, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So it's like, you know, trying to describe the beginnings of, you know, Mississippi Delta blues. It's like you could give somebody,
mm-hmm.
like, a feeling and certain sort of touch tones, but, you know, you can't... The music is the vehicle for travel to that era if people are interested in it, but it's actually, like, beyond that era because it was just something that's kind of beyond time. Like, it was influenced by an era, but it's not, I don't think it's trapped in that era at all. I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan of nostalgia myself. I like to, you know.
But it
I
is
respect.
Interesting that you say that, because a lot of what our era represented to me, from my vantage point, and what made us stand out, I think, is our appreciation for what came before us, particularly on the Blackstar album. I think we leaned into that. Like, we talked about Rocksteady. We talked about what hip-hop was. We talked about, you know, B-boys. And I think that was important for us artistically. Even in our ciphers in the park, when we first started really hanging out, it was a lot of, we keeping hip-hop, we are trying to preserve this culture. You know, it was like, you said real-life documentarians.
Yeah, a cultural preservationist, so to speak. But, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's come on, like, we're like, you know, 20 years old, you know, 22,
23. That's the best time to live.
I mean, it's just coming from another time and our growth and development. And for me, those things were, like, so personal to me. They weren't necessarily even about, like, some sort of, even cultural preservation. I mean, that aspect of it was there, but it was like, this is what's important to me. You know, when I was 9 years old, I went on a Great Adventure bus ride with the staff from the Fever nightclub, you know, with their, you know, friends and loved ones, with Melly Mel and, you know, Grandmaster Flash and all of them, like, you know, me and my brother, like, spazzing out that we were not only going to Great Adventure with brand new black Lee denim suits on, but they're like, you know, we were sitting next to Mr. G, who recorded games people play, you know, and like Melly Mel from the, you know, and Grandmaster Flash, it was like, it was crazy to us. So it was like, it was like being on the bus with Michael Jackson or somebody, seriously.
Right.
In my childhood, it was like Michael Jackson and hip-hop. That was it. It was Michael Jackson and anybody that made hip-hop. Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash.
You worked with Michael Jackson as a young man as well, so it was like you was manifesting that destiny.
I see what you did there, but I'm gonna let it go.
let that fun slide.
I'm gonna let it go.
Okay, what you can tell me, and both of you guys can answer this, can you give me a funny story that you guys remember from that time that you have not shared before?
I'm almost 50. I mean, like, I got so many stories in my damn head. I don't know. People had to tell me stories that I forgot about. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I remember moments, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I remember feelings and times. I remember writing for the Black Star album in the basement of Quality's house and that being like a lot of fun.
4709 Avenue K.
Yeah, I remember that being like a lot of fun. And like me looking forward to doing that as often as I could. I remember a lot of that era just like writing rhymes and listening to beats and just being like really comforted by that.
Yeah.
And having something positive to do with my day and time and my energy.
Sean J. Period like really, beats, high tech beats.
Well, you know, the Stunts Blunts and Hip Hop album.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just being like, this nigga Diamond D's.
Woo. Right. And that Manifest Destiny again, y'all rapping over that.
It comes from the Diamond D album. So I remember all of that. I remember where I was when I first heard Low In Theory. It was like, what the fuck is that? You know what I'm saying? And I remember a lot of people from that time that are not here anymore. Some of my mentors, like Suleiman Hakeem, Rahimullah, and others, you know. So it's not like stories or like anecdotes or like, you know, we went into the Waffle House, right, and there was a dude with a blue shirt, and I was like, look at that dude. In their homes, their families, sometimes issues with health. Shout out to Beasley. Remember Beasley who ran Trip and Mars and all that shit? Like, people talk about Peter Gation in New York City, but it was all about 6 foot something Beasley with, you know, dark skin with blonde hair passing out flyers to the dopest party in New York City. You know, you go to Mars with four floors and they had House on one floor,
yeah,
and hip-hop on one floor.
Yeah.
And that shit was unheard of. Like, people who listened to hip-hop went to hip-hop clubs. The people that listened to House went to house clubs. And he brought that shit together. So those are the things that I remember from that. I remember the whole ecosystem of the city and, like, how, as I look back, I can't find a parallel during that time or any other time where there was anything like that going on anyplace else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they was having fun in other places in the world and other parts, other cities of America, but what was happening in New York, in New York City, when I was, when we was 17, 18, 19, 15, 16, it was like, it was no parallel. It was like, it wasn't going on in London, it wasn't going on in Berlin, it wasn't going on in Paris. We thought it might have been. It was reported like it was, but New York was just on some
red hot,
some other shit. And it was red hot, and it had all of the like the beautiful elements, the culture, everything, all of the super dangerous shit. Like anything could happen to you at any time. It could pop off like day or night. You know, it wasn't like, oh, it's, you know, anything could happen to anybody.
Born in Fear City. That's what they called it the year I was born. You know, we born in '70, Fear City.
Fear City, I mean, 1977, you know, it was serious
indeed.
I wasn't going to the club during that time, but I remember my mother, I just said she had young parents. My mom was 21 when she had me, so she was still clubbing and partying. And I remember I cannot wait till I get 18 so I can go out, because my mom and my aunt used to stay in the city and come out, and we'd be, like, eavesdropping and listening to all their stories from the night before. And it was, like, one of my biggest goals to get out and party in New York City.
And party like your parents, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to be cool. All of the cool kids was hanging out. And it was some of just the dopest music. I mean, as a music lover, you know what I'm saying? It's like you go to hear certain people play and be like, whoa. And then to see certain people dance. Like,
yeah, we followed dance. We did dances with celebrities. You go see Henry Stretch, Rubber Band, and Peekaboo, and
Black Rob, and all that, like, you know, Voodoo Ray,
rest in peace.
Voodoo Ray.
What a great dude.
Marjorie, Asia. It was you know, people was like celebrity. Khalif, all of
that. Yeah, Khalif was ill.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Wow,
and then it was like rock and roll and punk rock and going on at the same time. It's like a lot. New York was like, whoa. I don't know another place that was quite doing it like that, you know. So
I agree.
I'm grateful that we came up in that era and that we still here.
Absolutely.
Amen to that.
Now I want to talk about blackness a little bit. Your debut album, Black on Both Sides. You call yourself Black Dante. You have a band called Black Jack Johnson. You and Black Star, but recently you and me in conversation. We've talked about blackness and sort of moving away from identifying so much as blackness, but talking more about the African politic because race is a social construct. Can you break some of that down?
Well, as I've said before, there's a quote from my childhood, one of my childhood friends, Kasim Magnetic.
Peace to Kasim Magnetic.
He said, as black, as white, as money, is all unequal. The adjectives can never be nouns. We are the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that ideology of blackness when I was younger was taken from the examples of people like, of course, Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X and others. But for me, primarily them. And also like X-Clan and the Jungle Brothers and Native Tongues and that whole thing that had a big, big impact on me. Like Native Tongues,
absolutely.
But I mean, Jungle Brothers in particular, that first and second album, Straight Out of Jungle, Jump Out of Forces and Ages, it was like, you know, the educated man from the motherland. You see me call me a star, but
that's not what I am.
I'm a jungle brother, true blue brother. And I've been in many places you never discover. So that whole ethos was in the city, you know what I'm saying? Like people on the, you know, booksellers selling, you know, Message to the Black Man, Behold the Pale Horse, Sheikh Anti Diop, you know, that was like, that was the ethos of our youth. So,
yeah.
And to be fair, it was like the cultural status quo. Like if you wasn't or not, you wasn't even invited. Like nobody wanted to hang
yeah.
with you. Nobody wanted to be with you.
That's an interesting
you
point.
Know.
They get lost in the retelling of that history.
Yeah,
it was
popular. There was nothing else to be on. You know what I'm saying? Like the hard rock, the hardest MC, like solo MC at that time, was Rakim.
Yeah.
And he was rocking gold chains, but he was like, so follow me. He was thinking he was first, let's travel at magnificent speeds around the universe. What can you say is the earth
gets further
and further
away,
planets
smaller,
balls of clay. So it's like these
yeah.
dudes are like velour and leather,
yeah.
you know, sweatsuits and gold chains, like, thinking of a master plan, you know, it was like that was the status quo, and that was it, you know, like there was an era where like New York not only ran like who the stars were, but like what the messaging was, mm. period, like there was no glorifying drug talk, there's, you know, maybe have like a little one or two, like, you know, Run DMC was about as like raw as you could get it, but
they had
the authority, because it's like you could talk about Cool Chief Rocker, I don't drink vodka, I keep a bag of cheaper inside my... You expected Run
right.
to be like Run, you know?
Right.
DJ, I run shit, you know what
right.
I'm saying? I do what I want. But apart from that, like, you know, so like literally had songs like Close the Crack House Down, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? It was like...
Whole movie.
That was the... There was a, and I was... That was what it was for a long, long time, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, bragging about how dope you was as far as you could go. But, like, you know, and you had, like, the Spoonie G, like, you know, the explicit stuff, you know. But that was, like, that was not on the radio. Rap
right.
wasn't on the radio before an hour a week on the weekends
wow.
with DJ Red Alert and, you know, like, local New York radio
yeah.
stations. And that was it. So it was, like, really a street culture. You know, KRS came a Criminal Minded. It's like, and my philosophy, I didn't see it like that glorifying the gangsterism, a gangster lifestyles. And there was some dudes that was like officially, legitimately like in the streets, but they just wouldn't talk about it on records, you know.
Like street legends.
Yeah, for sure. That all came from where we was growing up. I don't behave and the way that I'm expected to behave as an artist for certain audiences, you know. People have always tried to make it about one thing or the other with me or us. It's like, oh, you guys are the blackness guys, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so that's like you run the blackness lane. You know, they even came
right, right.
You know, the all of these terminologies like conscious rap, and I was just like, it's kind of like very loose, ambiguous language as opposed to what, like, you know, a sleep rap, like, what do you even mean when
right,
you say
right,
that,
right.
you know what I'm saying? Or it's like, I mean, commercial rap, it's like, well, you know, our records are for sale, so
right.
what are you really saying, when, like,
right.
what do you, like, what type of box are you trying to put us in? And, I just a lot of different themes in my music. It's not just, you know, the theme of, like, my heritage or mm-hmm. politics. You know, but as a younger person, those things were very important to me. And they're
yeah.
still important to me, but I have a different understanding of them now with the passage of, you know, time and experience. Mm-hmm. And I expressed them in another type of way. There was a lot that I wasn't exposed to or didn't know at that time, but there was a lot that I was interested in. There was a lot that I felt on an instinctual level, and I just expressed it. But, like, I have always been rejecting those type of labels
yeah.
about, like, oh, this is what you are, this is how we can categorize you and classify you so we can arrange you as a, like, a consumer product.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, we were working artists who were lucky, fortunate enough, and gratefully skilled enough to be able to say that this is our profession, because there were a lot
yeah.
of people, as you can attest to, Gua, that was super dope that never got to do it at this level, or consistently at this level, you know, it was who, you know, deserved the shot, at least in my opinion,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And for whatever reason, you know, it just didn't happen for them that way. So That was always the victory to me. Whatever people want to call it, you know, conscious rap, backpack rap, you know, I at this point in my life or career, I'm you know, I want to spend my energy and time on something else besides just explaining myself or, you know, what I've been doing or what that means. It's like, if it means something to you, whatever I say, whatever I do, fine. If it doesn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
I at least I ain't lied to you. I wasn't like over here pretending to be something that I'm not for your approval or attention. You know,
yeah.
What you got and will continue to get out of me and us is a sincere expression. Whether you understand it or not, it's not a lie. You know, it's what we really, who we really are, what we really, really responding to, or what
mm-hmm.
is really important to us, and I'm just leaving it at that.
To become a Muslim, to say there is no God to Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and to become a Muslim and to say I'm a Muslim now. You can't be a Muslim over here in this country. Muslims are all over the world. So you can't be a Muslim in this corner and go outside. They're going to be Muslims out there to look at you. Say, hey, ain't no real Muslim. That's a corner Muslim. That Muslim is only corner Muslim. And the Muslims of the world are not corner Muslims. They're universal Muslims. So take into account the seriousness of your decision, especially you who are not satisfied with being shortchanged. You want the full measure of what God has created for you. Take serious your decision. You say you're Muslim, take it serious. I'm a Muslim. Now, what is required of Muslim? I go to the Quran, I go to the life of Muhammad. Ain't no way for me to get around that. I got to do my best. I got to do my best. Maybe I'm not as great as you, or maybe I'm not as great as the next fellow, or the one that just went behind, came left. No, I may not be as great as those, but I have to do my best. If I'm going to live with a good conscience, I have to do my best. I can't excuse myself. So forget about this. Forget about that. All I want to do is just pray every now and then. Say Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar occasionally, and go and hear the Imam once in a while, and that's enough. Allah knows my heart. That's okay, but get behind us.
Yes, sir.
You're not the one that God wants to carry the work. The one that God wants to carry the work are those that accept the full responsibility. And even though they can't measure up, they won't excuse themselves. They never will excuse themselves. They will say, well, brother, I'm not yet, but I pray Allah, one day I will. Allahu Akbar. They are never satisfied with their poor performance, their shortcomings. And this is the teaching of the Prophet also.
Assalamu alaikum. We're not hearing you, William.
Thank you, sis. Thank you so very much for that. So I was saying that we were listening to a couple of artists, Talib Kweli and Mos Def, also known as Yasin Bey, who Allah bless to move forward. And our responsibility now is, because they are trying to be in positive and constructing, is to get behind them and what it is that they're saying. And that's why we brought Mos Def and Talib Kweli on this morning, so that, because I think that they gave a very good description of what it was to grow up in the 80s, being 15 years old in the eighth grade, and what the culture was like at that time, with hip-hop culture. And it's important for us to understand that this is just the way that things develop. When you was 15 years old, I mean, in the 60s, when I was very much influenced by the culture. And the culture at that time was listening to Cousin Brucey on 77 WABC, and to listening to the Beach Boys and Bobby Darin, and watching films like Bye Bye Birdie. The Supremes was, I remember hearing the Supremes on 77 WABC here in New York, and there were probably stations that played all around the country that probably played Bobby Darin, the Supremes, the Beach Boys. But then what wound up happening is that the Beatles came on scene, and when the Beatles came on scene, I mean, it was a total transition as far as the culture was concerned. I didn't get too much into it. I wasn't into the Beatles, but the effect that the Beatles had on the culture was so profound that you had to take notice, because it was all over radio and it was all over television. The Ed Sullivan Show. They got on the Ed Sullivan Show, which was a popular show that everybody watched on Sunday. The parallels of culture. One of the things that I really took notice of, and it's talking about the parallels of cultural development, is what wound up happening in New York. I knew that they took music out of the schools. Because, you know, when we were in school, they taught us how to play instruments. So I learned how to play the violin, and I was part of an orchestra in public school. And there were bands and there were glee clubs. But they wound up taking those out. So by the time the 80s came about, you know, that type of musical development wasn't available in Harlem. And I'm sure that was the situation in other communities across the country. So, but see, the thing is that man has a plan and Allah has a plan, and Allah is always the best of planners. So right here in New York, you know, this idea of hip hop started to come about. It came about I was already doing it with the propagators. I was known as the Muslim rapper. But what came up with that was the Sugar Hill Gang came out with Rappers Delight. I said, the hip hop, the hippie to the hippie, the hip hop, the hopping, the don't stop, the rocking to the bang bang boogie, and up jumped the rhythm to the rhythm of the boogie dee bee. And it caught. It caught on, and then radio stations, they started playing it all over the country. And then the next thing you know, it took effect, and then you started getting others like Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, and many of the artists that you heard Yasin Bey mention. That was because now it lit a fire, and many of our youth really started to get into it. One of the points that happened with hip hop was that it was actually intellectual development. That's what they were basically expressing. They were poets. There was a poetic expression that was actually going on. And even though there were negative poets that were out there, or rappers, there were a lot of positive poets or rappers. and that, that Mos Def, you know, talked about. He talked about, well, I can't even name him now because, you know, I don't remember him. But he did name a lot of them that were X-Clan. I know that X-Clan was one of them. And there were others. There were many others. But it was intellectual development. When I was performing with the Propagators, my sons was like 5, 6 years old, and the Propagators would bring them up on stage and let them say poems. So then as they got older, you know, they came into, in the 80s, they came into the hip-hop culture. And in coming into the hip-hop culture, you know, they had intellectual development. That's what they were able to do. And so to this day, you know, they're still participating as far as that's concerned. And that's where you get the whole quick hitters experience. That's what the quick hitters experience is all about. The quick hitters mm-hmm. experience is taking Sister Martha?
Yes, I wanted to, okay. And I was going to wait till you pause. The listeners that are on, if you have any comments, if that's okay with you, William, we have a group, having been a group singer, what do you call it, quartet, they know. But if you have time and you have space to press 1 on your phone, if you're available, do so. And Michael Hameen, you're already in the queue. Do you have any comments to share with? Okay, we have our poet laureate, Bilal Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, Bilal. We have a couple of minutes left to discuss this with William.
Alaikum assalam, Abdullah. Standing up for your life, choosing wrong or right. Heaven is a choice. It's your voice. A hell of a situation to be in. Do we need to repent and make amends, tired of corruption and sin? Al-Islam, organic and natural, not store-bought. Becoming more aware of our potential, thinking and acting rational. Satan said he was better able to serve God. Isn't that what we were taught? But we all obeying God and man's law. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. All right. And we go, anyone, oh, we have 636. Yeah, there you go. As-salamu alaykum, Kareem Hamid.
Wa alaykum as-salam. I am grateful that our beloved brother, William Kareem, shared Mos Def with us. Mos Def is a very, very conscious, very intelligent. He's more than a poet. He lends very progressive commentary. And I look forward to hearing, inshallah, more from Mos Def. He is Muslim. He's a conscious Muslim, and he's a very positive influence in young life. Thank you, Martha, and thank you, William Kareem, for highlighting Mos Def.
Alhamdulillah.
Alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. All right. I take that it with us here. Okay. And Michael, if you have anything, we only have a minute left. I know quick hitters coming up. Quick hitters, you don't want to miss. Alhamdulillah. All right. William, back to you. Thank you.
Yes. And if you have some kind of artistic expression that you would like to, you can send it to anew.day@live.com, and we will feature it on our Halal music mix in the first hour of the program. Yes, and that's why we put on Mos Def, Yassin Bey, because he is Muslim, but he also has been participating in Halal music, and that's what we're, you know, that's what we're covering, and we're looking to grow, to continue to grow that. And I'm telling you, you don't know where it's going to go. I'm telling you, it's going to grow, it's going to grow, it's going to grow, because the negativity is really not getting people anyways. So we're getting ready to come up to the Quick Hitters experience right now. Right here on New Day Community Radio Cultural Insights with American Muslim 360. So just stay tuned, and we're going to start the Quick Hitters experience.
Yeah, well, here we go. It's our turn. You with us tonight. Bell, a.k.a. Bell, Peter from Harlem. They talking about
trust
the
us.
That's believe we
are. We're about to get in
here with the wickedest introduction in the whole damn world. It's our turn.
It's our turn. Yes, you're listening to the Quick Hitters Experience. This is the Quick Hitters Experience with Mr. Cavell. The Quick Hitters. You can go to quickhittersexperience.org, and when you go there, you'll find out that the mission of Quick Hitters is to empower the voices of the voiceless. How? It's hip-hop-based projects with the participants in DJing, MCing, b-boying, which is dancing, graffiti art, and knowledge. So check out Quick Hitters by going to quickhitters.org to be part of the Quick Hitters experience. Right now, we're waiting for Cavell to call in. I don't know, maybe he, I don't know how he going to forget. How could he forget his own show? So I'm going to put him on blast by calling him on the telephone.
Showtime.
Showtime.
Showtime, my four pops.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the world is so distracting today. There's so many things. But I think that what I wanted to do, I'm going to take this time to say that the Mosque Cares Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad has informed us that they would like to send prayers and condolences to the family of our sister, Halima Adila Muhammad, on her passing. We pray Allah has mercy on her soul, forgives her shortcomings, and grants her paradise. Oh, so, you know, inshallah,
Amen.
Allah will do that. You know, that's the door that all of us will go through one day. So let us do everything that we can while we are here and we are being blessed with this this life experience. The other thing is to remember that the CARES, a time to be grateful, is coming up. It'll be in two weeks it'll be the Mosque CARES, a time to be grateful affair. Then the following week after that, Master Sabor in New York will be actually giving a fair up there to recognize some of the members of the Masjid. So I'm opening up the telephone number of Mr. Cavell. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Quick Hitters, Mr. Cavell.
Welcome, everyone. How's everybody doing, man? Thank you for being here once again.
Wonderful.
How are you, Sister Martha?
I'm great. How's the family?
Everybody's doing well. It's a great day. My daughter is actually here from Virginia to hang out and visit with the family, so it's great that she's here. My son is doing well. Everybody's great, and of course, they know it's time for us to do what we do, so let's get into it, Pop.
Okay, so you ready, Val?
Yes, sir. I'm waiting for you to throw that intro in. Let's get it.
Okay, let's get it.
Words of power like, 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 words of power like. Say it ain't so, but you already know.
So we jumping into it once again. Welcome to the Quick Hitters Experience, where we bring voice to the voiceless. Our program creates hip-hop-based projects with youth through partnerships with schools and community-based organizations. To learn more, visit www.quickhitters.org or call us at 405-807-6226. to join the experience today. We have a great show, as always, for you, which includes unapologetically our music, quick hits, quick quotes, Art Is Not a Crime, and Take It Personal. As you already know, we have jumped into Let's Talk, and this is where we give you just a brief introduction to what will be talked about in our Take It Personal segment later on in the show. So, without a shadow of a doubt, let's begin this conversation by talking a little bit about the politics of the day. Right now, there are some incredible things happening over in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine. At this moment, there is a ceasefire that has occurred, and that ceasefire is to pull hostages out of the Gaza Strip, assuming that they were taken by Hamas. This is a major, major story, Pop. What's on your mind, bro?
Well, I've been watching it, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I got my popcorn. That's what I keep telling people. I got my popcorn and I got my soda, and I'm just watching. I'm just watching, you know, to see how it plays out, you know. I'm just watching.
So the interesting thing about that, along with this conversation we'll be having later on in Take It Personal, is not just the effects of what's happening in the Middle East, but also what's happening here at home, especially inside of our educational institutions. I work for the Department of Education, and the Chancellor Banks, sent around a communication to all employees of the Department of Education, reminding us that we have to be careful of our political espousements inside of the workspace, that whether that is in schools or that is somewhere else. What do you think, Pop?
Wow. Man, look, you know, they're trying to put tape over the mouth, man. They're putting tape over the mouth. Here it is, you know, you can't talk intelligently with somebody in the workspace. What is it they saying, that it's an emotional issue and it's emotional and they don't want people talking about it because it's touching an emotional cord within them about, you know, what's right and what's wrong? What's happening is that they're exposing themselves. They're having themselves exposed.
So it was very interesting when that whole process happened, and I thought we should definitely bring that to the table and have a little discussion on that as well. And the last piece, man, is the media projection of victimization, the victim mentality that is being perpetuated towards other communities regarding the Jewish population. The Jewish population seen as victims. In recent days, I've had a number of commercials pop up on my YouTube, on my Instagram feed, or watching television just in general that show different groups. For instance, Black Lives Matter speaking about how this commercial that says Black Lives Matter has always been an opponent of the Jewish religion, and then they play a clip of one of the founders actually talking about the Zionist experiment that is Israel. What do you think about it?
Well, that's something that many of us didn't know. Many of us were affiliated the Jewish religion with Zionism, and come to find out that they're two separate things, that they're separate. And it's just like saying, you know, all black people are drug dealers and crack users. You know, that's not true. You know, so you know, when you know, like you the references are being exposed, and when you talk about, you know, they're saying, yo, don't say nothing about it. Don't say nothing. And the reason why they're saying that's because the Zionists are being exposed, and the Jewish people have been saying, listen, we're not part of that. We are not part of that. We're not part of that Zionism. So it's a time of great exposure that's actually going on today.
Well, I tell you, listen, folks, stay tuned. That's going to be the conversation we're going to have later on in the show, in the Take It Personal segment of our show later on today. Make sure that you stay in tune with us and you hit that button, man, when you're ready to make some comments and join us live to have a part in the experience. It's going to be a good one today. It's Saturday, November 25th, and I tell you, oh, got to give a big shout-out right off the top, man. It is my my niece, Pop's granddaughter. It is Sajda's birthday today, so just a big shout-out to my niece Sajda on her birthday. I believe she's 9 or 10. Sajda. With that being said, let's move into our next segment of the day, and that is Unapologetically Our Music. Pop, play the intro. Oh, yeah. Well, take a listen to a quick list of 5 of our favorite songs. If you or someone you know is an artist and would like to have your music played unapologetically, email us at anew.day@live.com. Once again, email us at anew.day@live.com. It's Unapologetically Our Music right here on the Quick Hitters Experience. Let's do it, Pop. Take the hill.
Take me down. I just want you to know every time you smile that I was proud. I know that we had it all, didn't know daddies was around. Just know helping raising y'all was something strong to keep me ground. Just know
Mama really sacrificed a lot to keep us right though.
Once again in your building, about to do what I do, lay it down, you know. Man, it's been a crazy first half of life and all that, man. But you know what we do, man. We go hard, man. Let's do it, huh? We go hard. 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 We go hard.
But it's we us, we everybody united. Though we're suffering private, never remaining divided, always aligning. There's always wealth and timing, they reminding. So I'm grinding, my spirit's at peace. So I teach, reach to the street, chairman seats to beat, defeat the speech, precise, no peace. I sneak in messages to combat your aggressiveness. Willow in school, doing a job.
Chia
in school, doing a job. Pop in school, doing a job. I got a big team and they doing their job. So it's God, self, fam, community in the world. We go hard for the beauty in our boys and our girls. I'm up in the morning, I'm ready and charged. Got the smile on my face, I've been waiting to go hard.
We go hard, 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 we go hard.
I'm with the have-nots and the haves, the humble dudes and the braggers. Trying to keep you moving because the hood is bananas.
Yeah.
Won't go wanna
know
this.
I won't.
So confident, holding on. Live right to me.
True that.
Won't go wanna know this.
I won't.
So confident.
True that. Yeah.
Notice me, still righteous. Can't take the crown from me even when the ground shake under me. I'm still a dungaree. Dope shoes, fly sweater, trying to make it better. Butter leather, ghetto hats for any weather. Gutter forever, rich aura from Harlem like Rich Porter. Big Billy's son, my sister's Bob Go's daughter. 14th Street on Jeanette, I still remember those hallway steps. I rest why, oh, you already know I'm a vet. OG triple, been in more cells than Sickle on Rikers with the young lifers, trying to help them do the right thing. Lift your head up, king. In the streets, I tell the kids, get your bread up, king. Same thing across the board. I want my people to be able to afford all of life's luxuries. Keep yourself in good company. I just want to see my grandchildren's children so they can mention me. Pop, pop, been here a whole century.
You and me were just a disguise. What is deep, deeper than deep? Don't only know this kind of vibe is stronger in time.
True that. Like a bottle of wine, I get better over time. I'm half a century divine. God had me in mind for these times and days. The way he got me shining like rays of the sun. I'm a son, got a son, I'm the one. Connected to the most high, the most fly. Holy Ghost ride, in the end. The 12 tribes of Israel, it's built, it's real. I'm still a man in Christ. Though I changed my life, I need to be a...
Too much space between the poor and the privileged. Maybe it's all race and cause us all to be distant. Maybe I lost focus, you heard, but I couldn't see. That's why we needed to be in 2020. After the hurricane, after the firestorm, usually the pollution and toxins are all gone. Maybe a world change is how we need it to be and what we needed to see in 2020. January 26th, remember when that text hit and how I hoped he was just fooling what my man said. The boy KB24 with his daughter and more were in a helicopter accident, they're all dead. And how the whole world halted like a standstill and how the whole world mourned how this man lived. The little brother we grew up with slipped, tripped, but boy, the way they married Jesus, why we loved him. And boy, the way she loved the husband while we heartbroke. And boy, the way he was a father while the tears flow. And well, she had to bury both with all the sorrow. It's like they wondered what was coming, what would follow. Red alert, sound the alarm. Only 5 days later, a threat to survival. When who announced looters on the loose? But said it's humanity who to loot. And it's gonna go viral. But what's the YouTube? What's 100 million views? When a couple being humans must prepare for what ensues. Still couldn't anticipate all we would lose. Something of sanity, loved ones, the freedom to move. The fruits of our labor, the businesses that voted. Relationships lost from the stress we couldn't hold it. How many are heartbroken? But gotta keep your composure, cause family might not eat if you don't hold it. 2020, maybe too much life between a paw and a privilege. Maybe it's all race and cause us all to be distant. Maybe our lost focus, you hurt, but I couldn't see. It's why we needed to be in 2020. After the hurricane, after the firestorm, usually the pollution and toxins are all gone. Maybe a world change was how it needed to be and what we needed to see in 2020. March 30, the whole world now on lockdown and everybody scared, barely know where to shop now. They say it's in the air like we in bird box now. We masking our fear, the stress and despair. Till May 25th, that man screamed for his mama pig, still didn't care. And it's funny since we were...
Yes, so that's
powerful, boy.
On music.
Powerful. Yes. Who we had today, Pop?
First,
tell them what it was, man.
The first song was Take the Hill by yours truly, William Kareem. The second
song was by that
up and coming group that your children and grandchildren are going to be listening to in the future, which is Ain't Afraid, and the name of that song was Last Request. Also, the third one was by Mr. Cavell called Go Hard. Yours truly, Mr. Cavell, right here.
Yes, sir.
And the fourth one was by Bill Blass. I just love that song by Bill Blass. The video is even more powerful. True That. That's the name of the song that he did. I think that was D'Angelo in the background singing.
Yes, sir.
True That.
So you're saying
Khalil Ismael.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
So you're saying that we're getting the current live presenters doing their thing, right?
Oh yeah, unapologetically.
Yeah, go ahead, Beth.
I was going to tell them that was
unapologetically
us. Yeah, I was going to want to hear it because we heard it, but you know, you're thinking, okay, who is that artist? Who is that artist? Oh well, just listen.
That's right. Yeah, we bringing them some stuff. We're going to make sure that we continue to showcase our own artistry because again. It is that we have stuff to say as well. We want to bring other artists to the table, but we also want to make sure that you hear that, you know, we do this. And we want to, when we come out to the different mosques coming soon, when we come out to some of the new the different conventions, you know, we're going to come out ready to share some stuff with you guys. So, you know, always appreciate that. Pop, I just wanted to say, what was the last song?
Ismael, 2020.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, once again, man, we want to say thank you to the American Muslim 360 family for being with us, you know, on this beautiful Saturday, as well as the New Day Community Radio. Pop, as always, giving us the credit. I want you guys to check out our SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/ The Quick Hitters Experience, all one word, The Quick Hitters Experience on SoundCloud, where we have some examples of some of the things that we do with the young people and have been doing with them over the years. With that being said, it's time to move into the next segment of the show, and that is Quick Hits. Later intro.
The Quick Hitters Experience. 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 The Quick Hitters Experience.
You know, it's a beautiful thing when we're able to share some time with you guys. This is our quick hits of the week. We take a quick listen to a quick list of songs that are out or that we would love for you guys to hear. We play songs that are climbing the charts, and that sometimes we just want to play songs that you need to hear. If you would like to make a suggestion to us, just as we said earlier about the artists who would like to be featured on the show, please reach out to us at anew.day at live.com. Once again, anew.day@live.com to join the experience. Without further ado, I'll let you know that this list is curated by our good brother, Bill Blast, US2G, who locks it down unapologetically, no question, but gives you the quick hits, and here we go.
Young Metro, I don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot.
Beautiful morning, get the sun in my morning, babe. Nothing in the water, water, so can I say it now? Beautiful morning, get the sun in my morning, babe. Nothing in the water, water,
so can I say it now?
There's nothing in stone. You know how we've been. It's been very weird and not really sure. I'm waiting to see if there was a certainty to it. If it's not, no, it is what it is. I'll let you know, though.
God himself more important than this life to me. You've been there for me, nurtured and cared for me. Never left my side, in you I can't confide.
Come love me, love me. Love
me. Everything about you.
Love,
love me.
Love,
hey, good as a bed.
You know I love,
I love it.
Love,
can't imagine life without you.
Love,
oh,
love, love.
Give me peace of mind. You would a friend,
yeah.
The love I have for you, what can be the measure?
Love, love, love,
love,
love, love, love, love.
Everything about you.
Yes, 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 yes. So here it is. You have it. So,
oh
Carell,
my
did
gosh,
you get
man.
In contact? Yes.
So here's what we know, man. You know what I'm saying? Once again, you know how we do. We dealing with incredible music, man. And this music is music, man, that has really set a trend in hip hop culture. But also, man, it connects us back to our roots, man. In 60s, 70s, 80s music, we had that first song was by Future and Kanye. You know what I mean? We got the second song of the day, which was Jill Scott. Of course, we had the incredible Sly and the Family Stone. If you don't recognize all of the samples that you heard in the song, you are not paying attention. Of course, my brother Bilal. Bilal, man, one of the most incredible artists to come out of the neo-soul era. And last but not least, of course, you heard the silky, smooth, deep voice, man, of Teddy Pendergrass that we bring to the table. It's not a game. It's a quick hits of the week, man. And what we do is we just want you to check in with us and enjoy. Go and check out our Instagram, instagram.com/ The Quick Hitters Experience. Once again, all one word, The Quick Hitters Experience. Check out instagram.com and see what we've been doing with the young people and how we've been introducing them to music from all eras and keep it in hip-hop. It's been a beautiful thing. Pop, man, anything to say, man, about this great list, man, we just had?
Oh, man, thank you so very much for telling us who those artists were, because I'm going to make sure that I download some of those songs, especially the one about, you know, my wife. I'm going to definitely use that on my Tuesday programming, Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. You know, I take some time to make a tribute to the wives, the wonderful wives that support, you know, the husbands. So thank you so very much, Bill Black, US2G, for that selection. There is a call. We do have a person in the queue. I'm waiting for him to put his hand up again to make sure that he's with us. His brother name is Bilal, but I'm waiting for him to put his hand up. When he puts his hand up, then we'll bring him in.
All right, Bilal is in the
there. He is.
He's in the queue now. He's in the queue now. There, William. I have him.
Hello,
welcome to the Quick Hitters Experience.
Yes, I'm enjoying myself. There's something that really like to share, alhamdulillah. If it's arbitrary, you must be firm without a concern. You can be dumb or learn. Bringing a new reawakening to the intellect of man. Get married, have a family, buy some land. God live, will, and plan for the same, knowing from whence we came. Adam as industrialist, all the good occupations can become a profitable and sustainable business. Excellent for God consciousness. We were once one human titan. The Holy Ghost wasn't first. Adam will build an institution for community life. Make sure we get that right. Adam and the Bible were deceived by Satan and deprived of his righteousness. Foolishness kept him upset. Culture should be developed naturally upon the excellence of the human nature. Satan together got man denying God's favor. A culture of violence, common sense isn't their friends. Drugs and death until there's nothing left. Instead of five principles, alcohol, addiction, five steps. Adam's descendants became industrial people, profiting from what they know. Workers in the iron and metals and builders, things are different. Things got to get better. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Fire for your face. Fire, starter. Incredible. This is what we like to hear. Pop, what you got to say, man? Incredible stuff.
Well, Bilal. Bilal always comes on. I mean, you know, and we are going to continue to encourage Bilal to go ahead and write that book or to get with some, you know, somebody and put that stuff on and so that he could share it with the rest of the world. But, you know, Bilal is has incredible intellectual development, and he uses it as a spoken word artist. And he writes these poems and he shares with us. We appreciate you so very much, Bilal.
Encourage
you to go ahead and make it happen.
Yes, sir. Oh, man, I am so inspired every time I hear brothers and sisters and their artistry and their thoughts. Because, again, I think for me, I hope for you, Bilal, Brother Bilal, man, it is a way to push out things that you want to say to the world, but also not holding in some of those things, man, that we feel and that need to be said. So I appreciate you every single time you come on and drop something. Continue to do what you're doing, my brother, and we're going to continue to support.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you to Allah for you, man. W.D. Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salam. My good people, man, I'm so glad you're with us on this wonderful day, man. Saturday, November 25th. We out here 2023. We're going to jump into our next segment without a shadow of a doubt. This right here is called Quick Quotes, and we got something new for you. Pop, play the intro.
Real quick. Lyrics, man, on some real spit.
All right, so quick quotes. What we do is let's get to it. It's a quick quote of the day. Our quick quotes are a few lines taken from song by a famous MC or group. And we're going to play it a couple of times so that you get an opportunity to hear it. If you know exactly who it is or you know the song that it comes from, please tap in and let us know. We will be listening for your call-in, so please make sure that you do so. With that being said, Pop, play the quote.
Was a few times I needed your support, but you tried to play me like an indoor sport, like basketball, tennis, pool, whatever. All I know was that you attempted to be clever.
Okay, that's the first play. We always play it twice. That's the first play. I hope you're listening close. We're going to play this one more time. Let's do it.
Wait a minute, but the thing is that if you know who this is, wouldn't they supposed to do that?
They supposed to make sure that they jump. You raise your hand. You got to raise your hand in the chat in our program. Hit that number one and let's get to it.
That's right. So here we go. One more time. Give you an opportunity.
It was a few times I needed your support, but you tried to play me like an indoor sport, like basketball, tennis, pool, whatever. All I know is that you attempted to be clever.
Okay.
There you go.
So, do we have anybody in the queue who's ready to let us know who this is? Last week, we had an incredible moment, and I'm hoping that moment happens again. Let's find out if we got anybody waiting. Is anybody in the queue?
Sister Martha, anybody in the queue?
What? No one's in the queue, but I'm just going to take a stab. And don't laugh at me now, y'all, because y'all, be respectful of this older generation. Was that Run DMC?
Oh, close this time.
That was a good
try. Close.
That was good. You were in the right era. Yeah, you were in the right era.
That was
era.
Close.
You were in the right era.
That was close.
We got a couple of hands. We got a couple of hands raised, Bell.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and see what we got, Pop.
Okay. So we're gonna go to American Muslim 360. And we're going to press 810. We're going to press 810 and see what they have. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open, 810.
As-salamu alaykum to you,
810-399.
Yeah, to William Kareem.
As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. Can you hear me? You can't hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay, good. I'm just thinking. I ain't a great big fan, but my son's name used to listen Grandmaster Flash or something.
You in the right era.
I like that it's close.
Okay. And sound like I heard your name in there, too. Seem like I heard your voice in there, though. And so I would say the intruders, you're going to get me. I'm going to quit. I quit.
No, I love it. This is exactly what we're talking about. That is beautiful. You are in the right space. Thank you for calling in and letting us know that at least you're listening, and you definitely are definitely have been paying attention to what's going on.
We've been slid to the slide, Decreta, very graciously.
Thank you so kindly. now because I didn't know what I was talking about. And have a good day now. I'm coming.
We're glad you're here with us. We're glad you're here with us. And that's what we love. We love to talk to you all together.
Yes, sir.
Now let me say this here. For the interest of time, we're going to move on, and we're going to actually play the song.
We got another call. We got to bring in this other call, Bill.
We got to get to these other two segments. But okay, let's get to this call. Say no more. I'm with you.
917-856. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Wa alaikum assalam. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Microphone check.
Good morning.
Brother Jamal Dean Bilal, New York City. Shout out to DJ DePresa and MC Martha for y'all's contribution.
We had so much fun. I'm so glad to be with y'all, man.
Yes, actually, I believe I know the brother. If you gave me 5 names or 10 names, I would pick it out, I'm sure. I believe the brother passed away. I don't know the name of the song, but I believe I know the brother, so that's the best I could do. Thank you. Sound like.
All right. You know the brother. What's the brother? Do you know the brother's name?
That's what I'm saying. If you gave me 10 names, I'd pick it out. I know the name, it's not in my sights, but if you put 10 names in a basket, I would pick his name out, I believe. I believe he passed away. Is that correct?
You are definitely correct. You are right in the space, and that is one of the things we love to say. This here is, and I'll let you know right off the top, this is the late great guru from the group Gangstar, the DJ Premier. One of the best MCs ever to grace the microphone, one of the best DJs to ever be a producer and DJ, group DJ Premier. Their group Gangstar was transitional and pivotal, and particularly in the late 80s, early 90s. These people did amazing work in terms of moving from just regular kind of breakbeat music into even using jazz, and even today where you hear there's more African and island, like a more feel African kind of music in the air with people. They were doing that kind of music in the early 90s, mid-90s, and really bringing a new thing to the table. So big up to Guru, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace and sleep in peace, good king, as well as DJ Premier from Gangstar. We're going to play the song, and the song is called Take It Personal.
I never thought that you would grab me, undermine me, and backstab me, but I can see clearly now. The rain is gone, the pain is gone, but what you did was still wrong. There was a few times I needed your support, but you tried to play me like an indoor sport, like basketball, tennis, pool, whatever. All I know is that you attempted to be clever. Nevertheless, cleverness can't impress, cause now you've been exposed like a person undressed. And I can see through you, cause I'm the guru. And what you gonna do when I start to step to you? Cause when I say you're back, I'll be hurting you. And this ain't no threat, so take it personal. Rappers and art, you can't own no loot.
Yeah. So that is the Gangstar guru. Yes, sir.
And you will recognize that later on in the show. Is the reason why I chose that. You know what I mean? So, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the greatest groups in hip-hop culture has made a wonderful contribution to the culture over the years, and we can hear it in the music that's been presented. We're going to move forward without a shadow of a doubt and take the next 5 minutes to do Art Is Not a Crime. Let's do the intro. The way he laid the flame is inspirational. Get us ready for greatness.
Resilient.
We hit it.
All right, great people, welcome to the Art Is Not a Crime segment where we're going to have a brief conversation about sexual assault allegations and how it's handled regarding different racial groups. Right now, there are a number of sexual allegations that have been brought against a number of people. But how is that dealt with in the media when we're dealing with different groups? First and foremost, let's talk a little bit about Mayor Adams and his recent allegations that have been brought against him from a 1993 incident that a woman came forth in the recent days and brought against him. Pop, what do you think?
You know, the sexual allegation trope, the sexual allegation effort has been one where it's a smear campaign that many a times is being used against people. If we look at back at what happened with especially Bill Cosby, they put a lot of, they smeared his name so bad, and then they winded up, you know, letting him walk free. Why? Because he was not guilty in the very beginning. So, you know, the sexual trope, the sexual allegation is something that's used to, you know, just smear somebody's name. And so that, you know, like in the phase of Mayor Adams, if he tries to run again, that's what they're going to bring up. Yeah, well, you know, he sexually assaulted. That's what they're going to do. And that's how it's being used today.
Definitely a thing that has happened and is a remnant of the Me Too movement. As the Me Too movement came into prominence during the last few years, it has been a tool that is effective in addressing or bringing down men of power in our culture. And it's the differences too, right? Let's jump into the next space, which is Sean Diddy Combs and his ex-girlfriend, Cassie, the model, who put out just last week, she put a lawsuit in New York and filed a $30 million civil suit against him. And within days, P. Diddy gave her the $30 million. Again, Pop, what do you think?
Well, again, it's just that this is a routine that continues to show up as a weapon that women can use in situations, and it's not to say that that shouldn't be a weapon that women should have, because a woman should have that as a weapon, for. If there's a sexual assault actually being done. But when you use it as a weapon, then what winds up happening is that, you know, all kinds of money has to be spent. It smears the person's integrity. It goes to court. It does a lot of things. It's the same thing with, you know, child support. The woman, you don't give me what I want, I'm gonna take you for child support. It's just, you know, a tool that women have been given, and I think that that's part of the Me Too movement. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm saying that, you know,
right,
there are tools that women should have, but a lot of times,
no question,
you know, those tools are abused. They're abused.
But with that being said, and I appreciate, you know, and we have opinions, and we don't want anyone to think that these opinions are in a vacuum. We are also, you know, growing up and being a part of the society, but also as researchers, educators, we're around all of this information. And so we're bringing a conversation that we think is very valuable to the table. And the reason why I also wanted to bring this conversation up is because you have the allegation against Mayor Adams, and it's a visceral one. You have an allegation against Sean Diddy Combs, and it's a visceral one. But in the next few weeks to a month, there is going to be a Elvis Presley, Priscilla Presley movie about their love affair brought to the big screen. And again, in this regard, when we're talking about sexual assault and allegations and how it's handled regarding different racial groups, you can see clearly that if you have Mayor Adams being accused of this, and it's a crime that is considered heinous, If you have Diddy doing something to Cassie and it's a crime that's considered heinous, I always bring this up. As you brought up Bill Cosby, I bring up R. Kelly. All of these people have been jailed or accused and brought to trial. And in the same vein, there is going to be a movie about the love affair between an Elvis Presley, who at the time I believe was 21 or 22 years old, maybe even 23, marrying a 14-year-old girl. And it's acceptable, and not only acceptable, but being proposed to the world and presented as a love story. There has to be some changes in terms of the way in which we're dealing with this particular tool and how it's being used against our people. So once again, great conversation. We love it. We want to spend
only in America.
And I'm sure we can spend some more time.
Only in America.
And jump into our Take It Personal segment before we end the day off. So we're going to jump into that so we can have a little conversation about what we said earlier. Pop, play the intro. Sure, yes, sir. So, of course, Take It Personal, we talked a little bit earlier about the ceasefire over in Gaza and how that is being viewed by the world. Right now, there is the first group of hostages were taken captive on October 7th. And this Friday, the head of Israeli's government press office confirmed that at 5 p.m. there would be a ceasefire and the Israeli hostages would be freed. Qatar Foreign Minister spokesman Dr. Majid Ansari said on social media that in total 24 hostages had been released. That includes the 13 Israeli hostages, 10 Thai hostages, and one Filipino hostage. Again, what do you think about this, Pop, in terms of how the ceasefire occurred and what it is that, you know, will occur as this continues?
Well, I'll tell you this here. Since this has happened as far as this agreement has gone down, the question becomes that I'm looking at is, so will Israel continue to bomb the Palestinian people after the hostages are over? Or, you know, I mean, they've destroyed half of the doggone city anyway as far as the infrastructure is concerned, killed over 11,000 Palestinians. That's the question that I'm looking at. And so, like I said, I got my popcorn and I'm just watching.
And too, assalamu alaikum. We have Kareem Hamid, if that's okay. Assalamu alaikum, Kareem.
Yes. Wa alaikum assalam. This is being identified as a ceasefire, but it's not. Cease means to stop, period. You mean you will beat me within an inch of my life and then pause and come back and beat me to death? That's not humane. That's not anything to applaud. They are saying that the war will continue after this pause. It's not a ceasefire. The world is calling for a ceasefire. Stop firing. So I just wanted to say that it's not, you know, I don't see this as something that we should, you know, stand up and applaud. What about when they begin once more? The Palestinians are still huddled in shelters and everywhere else. They bombed hospitals. They killed children. And you pause, and we are to give you some credit for pausing? No. We won't be satisfied until there is a ceasefire completely. I just wanted to say that. Yes, I'll stop right there. Thank you.
Beautiful. Well said.
And it is well said. It is well said because, once again, you know, it is, and particularly in politics, a word game, right? If we say it's a ceasefire and we still maintain it as a pause, which, again, they're interchangeable words to these people, a politicians, for pundits on television to use them in order to be able to present the narrative that they particular program or that the segment is trying to get across. And so once again, we do want and are pushing for a complete and total ceasefire so that, again, these people can be dealt with medically, they can receive food and other resources, and that they stop killing women, children, elderly, those who are most vulnerable in seeking revenge against a group that has done some other vile things as well. So it is an incredible process. But again, we in the world are watching this and are clear that there are people being slaughtered at the behest of peace being the model.
Yes, I have a concern about Hamas. I have a concern about them. You know the brutality of these people. You know that they value the Palestinians as they say, as animals in human form. You have experienced their brutality and their indiscriminate carnage. Why would I go into the jungle and poke the lion with a stick?
Well, I tell you this here, and stay with us, because I want to bring this up as well, okay? I want to bring this up because I brought that up earlier about the political views in the school. And I just want to read you a little bit of what it is that was in this email. Our responsibilities as NYCPS employees, I write to remind us all, this is Chancellor Beck, this is the head of the public school system in New York City. I write to remind us all, especially in times of division and crisis, of our shared responsibility to promote values of inclusivity and diversity and to create safe learning and work environments. Hate and intolerance of any kind have no home in our schools or workplaces. In this challenging moment, when so many in our communities have deeply held personal views about various aspects of the Israel-Hamas war, the question can arise as to where the line lies between our responsibilities as public school district employees and our personal lives and views. I'd like to share this framework. First, all employees should ensure that expressions of their personal political views are kept separate from their NYCPS job and do not give the impression that they are speaking in their official NYCPS capacity or on behalf of the NYCPS. This is the leader of our school system telling people to stand down and to not talk about something that is affecting communities inside of New York City, and in particularly in New York City schools, where we have a high number of Muslim children who come from the Middle East in multiple countries, as well as we have Jewish children who are inside of these buildings who are dealing with this crisis and this issue. So the thing is that to not talk about this, I remember growing up, man, and the first thing that would happen when there were global issues was that there would be some kind of lesson plan put together in order to give the children an opportunity to express and to vent what they were feeling so that this way they knew that their voices mattered. For him to say this,
I think the key word
was really a way in which, you know, you talk about stomping down on people's right to talk about things.
Yeah, the key word was being, you know, as the chancellor. Yeah, as the chancellor of the system, you know, and with the technology that's actually going on today, you know, it's easy for there to be some kind of disparage actually brought to the Department of Education. So I think as long as you make it clear that it's your personal view and not, you know, as a worker with the Department of Education, that you make it clear that this is not, you know, coming as an employee of the Department of Education, I think that that's what he's doing. He's, you know, just trying to secure that social media doesn't damage the reputation of the Department of Education.
Again, this didn't have anything.
Also,
I hear what you're saying, but he didn't say anything about social media. He's specifically talking about in the classroom, and brother, I'm going to let you speak, but let me just read this last part where he says, second, in general, employees may express their personal views outside of the workday and workplace in a way that does not cause disruption to the employee's school or workplace. So he's specifically talking about you being in a building and expressing what it is you feel about this particular conflict. So he's not mentioning social media or any. He's saying that you can do whatever you want to do on your own time as long as it doesn't reflect or become an issue in the workplace or during your work.
Well, I can understand your statement. He does not want the educational institution to be reflected by the opinions of employees and students on that college campus. There is a misnomer that they are saying that anti-Semitism is growing by leaps and bounds, which is an injustice to the Jewish people. Zionism, study the history of it, has nothing to do with the Jewish people nor the Jewish religion. Zionism got its birth from, if I'm not mistaken, evangelical Christians introduced that concept and that idea. It springs from an addition to scripture that mentions the term Zion, that Christ will return when the Jews once more take control of Jerusalem.
Yes.
The reason that Christians push that is because they are saying that this will hasten the return of Christ. This is and Herzl and those with him that adopted that language and that concept, they hijacked that term, and they are using that term to reflect what they call Zionism. All Zionists are not Jews.
Yes,
all
Kareem,
Zionists are not a part.
Brother,
yes.
Kareem? Yeah,
yes,
I don't have that much time left. I appreciate that.
Okay, I'm
we're
sorry.
8 minutes open. I need to close out. But we appreciated it. If you had called a little earlier, you might have been able to let you go a little longer. But all
no
praise
problem,
to allow me. Thank you for sharing.
We appreciate you doing that, and that, I mean, that's the kind of conversation that we want to have. We want to have in-depth conversation and take it personal, because there are a lot of personal feelings around issues, man, and it's important to have these conversations. So, again, we appreciate you, Brother Kareem, for sure.
Yes, sir.
You
pray.
All right. Sister Martha Nala Williams, you have any last questions that you'd like to say? Sister Martha Nala.
Yes, I just send prayers out to all, you know, who are receiving any kind of injurious actions beyond the control of themselves and those who are perpetrators of the injuries. Continue to bless and lift us up. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. That's
right.
I mean, that's right. With that being said, we can continue to move this show forward. It is a beautiful thing. I want to say without a shadow of a doubt, it's been good to be with everybody and have a wonderful show this weekend. Again, on November 25th, this beautiful Saturday, to be with you here on the New Day Community Radio and the beautiful family over at American Muslim 360. Appreciate you truly, and I'm going to sign off with the greetings. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. We thank you so very much. And don't forget that it's time for the door prayer. Make sure that you make your prayer. And so we have to go out with that. We have to go out with the Adon, you know, because we during the show we didn't call it. So we make sure that it's done at the end of the program. So we're going out with the Adon prayer. Make sure that you make your door prayer and the rest of them if you can. And until next week, we give you the greatest peace. William Kareem signing off. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Don't forget to join us, dear listeners, at 5 p.m. for Defritha Abdul Hadi, Al-Islam in Focus. Assalamu alaikum.